Welcome to the Beacon broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
We continue to move along in our verse-by-verse study of the book of Malachi. We are leaving behind now the covenant of Levi in chapter 2, and coming in verses 10 and following to a very sobering subject. And here we're going to be reminded of the folly of practicing external religion, all the while living contrary to the requirements of Scripture. That is what is going on among the people of Israel in Malachi's day. That is what is going on among many professing Christians in our day. Now you recall that the prophet Malachi is God's spokesman to Israel during a time of spiritual apostasy, who ministered around 425 B.C. He was the last of the prophets before the coming of the New Testament. To most of the Jews in Israel in his day, the apostasy didn't seem very serious. It didn't seem very apparent, because at this time the whole nation is involved in prescribed temple worship at Jerusalem, something that had been denied them for many decades. And unlike the period of open apostasy during the time of the divided kingdom, they are now carrying out the prescribed ceremonies given to them by Moses, the burning of animal sacrifices upon the altar, the other ministrations of the priesthood as prescribed by God. Everything seems to be fine as far as most of the Jews of Malachi's day are concerned, and yet everything is not fine as far as God is concerned. And so we need to pursue this a little bit further. Thank you for joining me on this Monday, November 4. And please remember that we do depend upon the gifts of our radio listeners in order to continue teaching God's Word on this station. Well, the people of Israel may think that everything is all right, but God's spokesman, Malachi, sent with a message from God, charges them with treachery of the very worst sort. And having previously exposed the priests for their unfaithfulness to God's covenant with Levi, he now charges the whole nation for breaking God's covenant with Israel. And the main focus of this next rebuke centers upon their marriages, both their practice of marrying wives who were disqualified for marriage according to the Word of God, as well as their practice of easy divorce. These are the things that were going on in Malachi's day, and it was a great grief to Almighty God. We'll look at the first infraction, namely marrying wives that God forbade them to marry, in verses 10 through 12 of Malachi chapter 2. We read, "Have we not all one Father? Has not one God created us? Why do we deal treacherously with one another by profaning the covenant of the fathers? Judah has dealt treacherously, and an abomination has been committed in Israel and in Jerusalem, for Judah has profaned the Lord's holy institution which he loves. he has married the daughter of a foreign god. May the Lord cut off from the tents of Jacob the man who does this, being awake and aware, yet who brings an offering to the Lord of hosts. What do we have? In verse 10, three rhetorical questions designed to provoke thought. In verse 11, one scathing indictment, and in verse 12, one sobering judgment. And we begin with the three searching questions, the rhetorical questions in verse 10, and I read it again. Here's question number one. Have we not all one Father? Question number two. Has not one God created us? Question number three. Why do we deal treacherously with one another by profaning the covenant of the fathers? Let's take these one by one. First, have we not all one Father? And you might think that they're talking about Abraham, because all of the Israelites that were included in the nation of Israel and included in the people defined and identified as God's covenant people were all physical descendants of one man, Abraham. And so that's what we would think of initially to answer that question. Have we not all one Father? But it turns out that he's talking not about Abraham, but about God. God is their father. Remember back in chapter 1, in verse 14, we read, a son honors his father and a servant his master. If then I am the father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my reverence, says the Lord of hosts. Do you see there that reference to God calling himself their father? If then I am the father, where is my honor? Obviously, it's assumed that God is their father and that they know that God is their father, but they're not treating him with the honor and respect that is due to a father. They're not even treating him with the same honor and respect that's due to an earthly father, let alone to God Almighty. It's the idea that we understand when Jesus taught us to pray in what we call the Lord's Prayer, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So we're talking about God being their Father. Have we not all one Father? Now someone will pick that up and say, see there, the Bible does teach the universal fatherhood of God. We all have one Father, but he's not talking to everyone in the world. He's talking specifically to the members of the covenant community. In other words, the people who are identified as the nation of Israel. And the we here is the members of that nation. All the Israelites who are then gathered into the land, having been returned from Babylonian exile. That's who he's talking about. Do not we have one Father? And the we here are the Israelites, not just the priests. His previous indictment was against the priests who had violated the covenant of Levi, and we dealt with that in great detail. But now he's broadening out his focus upon not just the priests, but all the members of the nation of Israel. The we, therefore, is the we of all the members of the nation of Israel, not the we of all the people of the world. This is not speaking about the universal fatherhood of God, God being the father of everybody in all the world, but it is talking about that special relationship which God has with his covenant people, his earthly people. And one of the relationships that can be used to describe that particular relationship, I can't come up with another word right now, so I repeat myself, but one of the terms to describe that is a father-child relationship. God is the father, they are his children. So no, this is not the universal fatherhood of God. It is the special fatherhood of God who has birthed a special people into existence. He has brought a special nation into existence that is separate from all the other nations of the world, and he is their father. And that's the one to whom this prophecy is addressed, the burden of the word of the Lord of Israel by Malachi. And God is reminding them that he is their father. Have we not, we who are, Malachi is of course speaking, have we, Malachi and his fellow citizens, have we not all one father? Now that has to be the understanding of this term, or otherwise it destroys the logic of the charge relating to pagan wives in verse 11. Judah has dealt treacherously, and an abomination has been committed in Israel and in Jerusalem, for Judah has profaned the Lord's holy institution which he loves. He has married the daughter of a foreign god. Now the whole issue here is that God had told his people to marry within the covenant community, among those who all called Jehovah their father, but they had dishonored God, disobeyed God, and dishonored God by reaching outside the covenant community, outside of the nation of Israel, out to pagan nations, to nations to whom Jehovah was not their father. We normally think in terms of Jehovah being their God rather than their father, but it's an interchangeable idea here at this point. And so reaching out to nations for whom the God of Abraham was not their father, and marrying wives out of those nations, which God had strictly forbidden. So, understood in the context, this term father has to be understood as being limited to the nation of Israel. Otherwise, the treachery doesn't make sense in the next verse. So back to the question. Have we not all one father? God is their father in the sense of begetting Israel as a nation. He is the father. He brought this nation into birth. And the point is that they have unity, religious unity, and filial unity, family unity, because they all have one father. He is talking not about the universal brotherhood of all men, but he's talking about the brotherhood of Israel. All of them in the nation of Israel have been brought into existence as a nation with a special relationship to Jehovah, the God of Abraham. All of them have been brought into that relationship through the activity of God, their father, who brought them, who birthed them, who placed them, who gave them life and placed them in this particular community of people. And he is their father, and they are all related to one another, both by blood as well as by this special relationship with God Almighty, who is their father. Have we not all one father? The answer is yes, we do. All of us have the same father, the same spiritual father, the same Father God, the same Father who is Jehovah, the one who brought us into being. We all have the same Father. Therefore, act like it, is what Malachi is saying. And we'll have to take it up again, Lord willing, tomorrow. Please join me then. Until then, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.